So welcome to your foundation's training module on safeguarding and attendance. I'm delighted to say that we have the lovely Maxine Bromley with us. So Maxine, would you just like to introduce yourself and kind of what school you're based at?
Yes, thank you, Matt. So I'm Maxine Bromley and I'm the family support worker based at Grace Academy Solihull, right in the heart of Chelmsley Wood. And I've been in post for just a little over 9 years.
Fantastic. So Maxine is one of our longest standing members of staff. And what Maxine doesn't know about safeguarding and attendance isn't worth knowing. She'll probably hate me for saying that. But so we're going to dive straight in. So Maxine, do you want to explain what are some of the areas and the work of safeguarding and attendance that you're currently involved in at Grace Academy Solihull?
Yes, of course. So I think we must take into consideration that we've had this global pandemic and the impact of COVID in terms of safeguarding and attendance, some of the changes that we have and the ways of working that we've now adopted. So we are seeing here, we're seeing two things that are coming through. We're seeing school refusal come through, which refers to like anxiety-based school abstinence, which is often from separation, generalised social anxiety, and that can be defined by a group of students that have a prolonged period of absence from school with their parents' knowledge, and the prospect of coming to school causes severe distress. So we've got an issue of school refusal, and then we've got another issue, which is the emotionally based school avoidance. That's slightly different for that cohort of students. They have severe difficulty in attending school. That can be often linked to emotional factors, again, resulting from prolonged absences from school. And again, there's a variety of reasons and factors, which is unique to that particular young person as to why they are not attending. But we have got school refusal and then emotionally based school avoidance. So a couple of examples of where I'm working with both of those categories right now. The emotionally based school avoidance, I'm currently working with a year 10 student who has, get ready for this, who had an attendance figure of 6.5%.
Oh, wow.
We are talking this young person, prolonged absences from school. He's fairly new to my caseload. He's had intervention from lots and lots of people within the local authority to try and get to the root cause of what's really happened for this young person. COVID has been a factor for this young person. So I've been brought in now to see whether a different set of eyes and approach can, you know, provide some support. And I'm pleased to say that in 7 one-to-one sessions that I've completed with this person, daily sessions, we've seen his attendance go from 6.5 to 8.2.
Brilliant.
So those are still low figures.
Yeah.
But with 7 daily one-to-one sessions, we are starting to see this attendance move.
Great.
And there's good evidence that the approach that we've got, the work that we're doing with him, that consistent, small steps, just giving him small goals, is actually helping him to just even get into the building.
Amazing.
Which person is a big, big barrier. So that's one piece of work we're doing right now. Another one is with a year 7 student. So we've got upper school and then we're coming right down to lower school. This student is a school refuser. There's lots of things happening for this young person. There's a health need going on. There's friendship issues going on. There's a transition from primary into secondary school. What I've done with that young person, I've developed a systemic way of working. So I've worked with him, working with his family. It's fair to say that mum and dad also have their anxieties around school. It's fair to say that they have transferred some of their school experiences.
Yeah, I'm sure.
On their year 7.
Yeah.
So they're having to navigate all of that. And what we've done, we've carefully formulated a plan that's bespoke for that year 7-year-old, that really reinforces safety, care, a message of, we've got you, you're safe, I'm a consistent face for you, you can trust me. And again, we are seeing his attendance really start to come up gradually, but in a way that's sustainable. And in a way for that young person where he's set, coming away with a sense of, he's gone from, I can't do it, to actually, I am doing it. Brilliant. I am doing it this wrongly. So it's building their self-worth and self-esteem. So there are a couple of issues that we're currently working with, school refusal and emotionally based school avoidance, which both present quite differently.
And it sounds to me like there's no one-size-fits-all solution as well. From both of those things, you've talked about kind of two things that really resonated with me. You've talked about kind of it being bespoke and it being very much around the needs of the young person, around the needs of the family. And also the other thing that kind of really sort of hit home was it's those baby steps. You know, I guess school refusal, school attendance isn't going to be solved overnight, is it? It's those little baby steps to help them to move towards better attendance.
Yeah, and what you find is that if there has been a prolonged absence from school, I think school, the immediacy, they want that child back in school.
Yes, of course.
Whereas what we do here, our ethos, is that we're passionate about developing the whole person. And there is a... beneath that iceberg, there is a real reason why that young person is not coming to school and finding it difficult. And I think for me as a family worker, that's the exciting piece. Let's go, let's dig. Let's dig deeper. What's the cause of the issue? And then, yes, getting a nice, gentle, reintegrated plan to get you back in the first instance, just back in uniform.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whereas school can do 10 steps forward and say, we need to back, no lessons. I'm like, we just need to slow the pace right now. Let's work at a comfortable pace that's sustainable for change.
Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, working collaboratively with school.
Brilliant. So why would you say is safeguarding an attendance such an important role within as part of the ethos program across the school? Why is that kind of important, would you say?
Yeah, so regular absence, particularly unexplained absences, can be a red flag for safeguarding issues. So immediately that antennae is there. Where is that child? What's happening for them? And then all kinds of safeguarding processes start to kick in. And as a family worker, it's that professional curiosity.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's gone wrong? What support possibly is needed? You're beginning to formulate what's happening for this family and young person. What we know is through attending school every day on time, children and young people will get the best possible start in life. And there are clear links between attendance and attainment, raising standards, fulfilling potential and safeguarding. So the links, they're there. They are. It's a joined up approach. Poor attendance is a major cause for concern. And for any young person, and that can lead to increased vulnerability. There are a particular cohort of children that if they are absent from school due to their circumstances, their safeguard risk is elevated. So, for example, that could be a young person with a disability a young carer caring for somebody at home with a disability. A looked after child, so a child in the foster care system. Again, they're at increased risk of vulnerability for safeguarding. Children missing from education. Now, COVID, oh my gosh. Like, where these kiddos are.
Yeah.
Is an ongoing piece of work.
Yeah.
Children frequently missing health appointments.
Okay.
Again, that's another cause for concern with attendance and safeguarding. And we're seeing more of a trend in this area, privately fostered children. So they're living with auntie or grandparents or a friend of a friend. Now, the law gives very clear guidance on what is considered a privately fostered child.
Yes.
But there is links starting to emerge that if a child falls into that category, attendance and safeguard concerns will be there.
Yes.
Will be there. Yeah. With careful monitoring of that. We've also got risk factors for parents of non-attending students. So that could include there potentially could be domestic abuse within that family unit and conflict. It could be maternal, paternal, mental health and addiction. So there's lots of different things in terms of attendance and safeguarding that as a family worker, I think in the first instance, like I said, it invokes curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
What's the bigger picture here?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just they're missing from class today. What's really going on for this family? Again, it's about finding the story, finding it out, developing that personalised plan with that family, building those trusted relationships. Will you let me into your story?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we creatively do something together that supports your child's attendance and reduces the risk factors? Hopefully that's some thought around how those two links go together.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. And just that kind of, you know, an amazing privilege, isn't it, to be part of someone else's story? And I guess for a lot of the students that you support and the families that you support, you know, they've got so much stuff going on, haven't they, in all sorts of levels. So if we can come in and be that positive person, that light, I guess, in the middle of what is very often lots of darkness, that's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And for some of those families as well, they will have not had a positive experience of working with maybe local authority or other people that are seen to be in a professional role.
Yeah.
So in terms of breaking down barriers as a family worker, we've got a lot of barriers to break down.
Absolutely, yeah.
These parties to reach more complicated safeguard risk families. Yeah.
Great. So how do you think your work, Maxine, and the work particularly around attendance and safeguarding connects with our Christian ethos, which is, of course, what makes us so different from lots of other places?
So our strong Christian ethos most definitely underpins how we encourage everyone here at our academy to do their best, whatever their ability or background. We believe in you, and I think that's a strong message. Grace is one of our core values here, and life is better with second chances or third or fourth or fifth or however many. I know I've had a phone call this morning with a family, it's like, how many times can you mess up? I'm like, as many times, we're still here.
Yeah.
We're still here. Today's a new day. Let's reset and go again. So that definitely makes us unique and stand out. We provide teaching opportunities to teach and learn reflection. You know, what went wrong? The particular situation. What do we need to do to put it right? So in terms of repair and recovery, that's our Christian ethos coming through all of the time. And I know as a family worker, I work that way with the child and with the family.
Yeah.
A non-judgmental approach. We don't judge you.
No.
I might challenge when there's challenge needed, but I certainly won't judge you. Okay. I'm not walking in your shoes. I'm here to walk alongside you and help you through some very difficult times. Showing respect, again, another one of our values. Demonstrating respect for differences of opinion. You know, I'm not living their experience. I'm walking alongside them and in it with them. But at all times, I try and emulate respect for that family and that individual.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel that I aim to be excellent in the professional standards that I hold. Here at the academy and as a family worker, and again, some families won't have experienced an excellent level of service, and that's what they've experienced. So again, we've got some recovery. I've got some recovery work to do. I will give you the best of me.
Amazing.
Kind of contract with them that I want that open and honest relationship back. And that collaborative approach really works. I think often when a family have reached a stressful time, that they can't see a way forward. And it takes somebody from outside of the family, a family support worker, to actually dig for the gold that's there. There will be a positive there in what might feel like an impossible situation, but there will be strength there somewhere. And that's part of the role, developing the family, developing the person, looking for the positive, looking where the wins are, and in some ways trying to reframe what's happening and balance it out. It's not all doom and gloom. It might be really hard, and I'm not minimising what you're going through, but let's try and balance it out a bit.
Brilliant, brilliant. I love your passion, Maxine, and your kind of positive approach. I love kind of listening to you and how you kind of worked with families. Your kind of compassion really comes through. But what is it that you kind of most enjoy, would you say, about kind of, particularly about attendance and safeguarding? What is the thing that you go, okay, that's what I love doing?
So I enjoy partnership working. I've been here for a long time and developed amazing partnerships within the local authority here. And I use that to my full advantage. So I know that I can confidently ring admissions up and know them by first name terms, or free school meals, or, you know, a social worker within the safeguard team, the MASH team, again, first name terms. That goes a long way. So I absolutely love partnership working. And for families and children that are at risk with attendance and safeguarding, we need strong professional partnership working. It's essential, essential that I'm getting myself and my role out of the academy. Because if I'm going to advocate well for a family, and I thoroughly enjoy advocating, then I want to be able to represent well within the community where I'm placed. So I love outcomes. I'm all about that. Let's see where we started.
Yeah.
You know, it was a pretty poor start, let's be honest, family. We started here. But actually, in the 4 or 5 months that we worked together, this is where we are now. So that, I absolutely love, I love doing that with families. We do a baseline. It's where we started. This is where we are now. But this is where we're going.
This
is our ultimate goal. I love the continuity of relationships that I develop with parents. So, for example, it could be that I've met with a Year 7 parent and worked with them in quite a complex situation, safeguarding situation or attendance, and that piece of work has been done and closed and things are more stable. But they will still see me on the gate every morning.
Yeah.
If something happens within their family, I'm still the first person they're going to call up, even though that case is no longer open to me. So it's that continuity of work and care. You have become a trusted face.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful as a family support.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's beautiful. And again, just I've developed a way of that non-judgmental approach. It's fundamental to my working style. Fundamental. So, and standing in the gap, quite often our more vulnerable families, attendance, safeguarding, they've got little support around them. I stand in the gap and advocate. I love that.
Great, fantastic.
Empowering people, empowering families that change is possible, and together we can support that change.
Absolutely, and I know from the business, you know, our sponsors here, the stories that they love most are the stories that come from our family support workers, where they say we've affected not just the student in school, but it's about the whole family. And I know I've sat with some of these guys and have told them some of their stories when they've asked, and they've like had tears in their eyes because of the kind of where, you know, where these families started and where they've come to. They love that, which is amazing. Brilliant. So just lastly, Maxine, before you go back into the craziness of school life, Are there any kind of top tips you've got, particularly for kind of, you know, fairly new family support workers in terms of kind of preparing, delivering, measuring the impact of attendance and safeguard, and any top tips you can give them as they start in their role?
Yeah, I think top tip number one is be visible. Mm. So for me, gate duty every day, yeah. I'm highly visible, and I'm immediately seeing safeguard and attendance concerns because I'm seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
So I can track if somebody's in today or they aren't in today, if they're looking slightly upset. So be visible would be my number one top tip. Listen actively to what the child and the family say. Give them your full attention. Okay, really, really important in a busy role. If you haven't got time to speak them and then tell them, but tell them you will, you know, call them back in the day because it's important. You want to really hear what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Show respect at all times. Another top tip. Be honest. Sometimes those difficult conversations have to happen. So develop a way of working that is both open and honest, because professional challenge will need to be there in terms of safeguarding. There are times when you will need to escalate something and possibly risk and rupture the relationship. Mm. But if it's strong, you'll be able to win it back.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. And I say that to families, I'm with you, I'm not going to leave you, but I absolutely need to take this, this next step.
Yeah.
Some other kind of top tips. Assess. I think gain a full understanding. Don't assume.
Yeah.
Assess. Do it. Take your time to do an assessment of what's really happening for this child and young person. Plan. Get a good plan together. Ideally, agree it with the child and their family. Get them all on board. So it's a together working plan. Review that plan regularly. Regular check-ins.
Mm.
How we've been. We're a little bit behind. We're not on schedule. Oh, my gosh. We need to completely different plan. That's gone.
Yeah, that's not working. Let's do something else.
We need a new plan. Scrap that one. Press the panic button. And then do exactly what you've said you're going to do. That's consistency again. Often our more vulnerable families linked in with attendance and safeguarding, they've had inconsistency. So say what you're going to do and do it. Yeah, and walk that journey with them.
Brilliant.
Be that long-term advocate for that family. More than ever, families are under incredible pressure, more than ever, and as family workers we have an incredible opportunity to be a champion for the family and for that child.
Fantastic. Wow, so much there. And thank you so much, Maxine, for kind of for sharing your passion and your top tips and your experience over the years. And I'm sure if anyone wants to kind of pick your brains about safeguarding or attendance room, about anything to do with family support work, I'm sure you'll be happy to kind of talk to them.
Thank you, Matt. No, thanks for the opportunity. It's good to share. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks.